Okay, so let's turn first of all to 1 Peter chapter 2. And I want to read one verse. The subject is Christ, verse 22, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. One of the things I think that we as believers kind of assume and really are very familiar with is the fact that in order for Jesus Christ, the Lord, the Son of God, to be our Lord and Savior, He had to be perfect, right? He had to be someone who did not commit any sin. He had to be that spotless Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And what we have here out of several verses is that in verse 22 of 1 Peter 2, the Bible says that Jesus Christ, the righteous one, that he did, I'm going to take notes, he did no sin. He committed no sin. Now just think about that just for a while. Now he is God, amen? He's God in human flesh, but he's also fully human, fully man. He experienced the same earthly temptations you and I experience, except without sin inside of him. In other words, those things that would come from the outside to him, right, were a trial to him, just like they can be for us. And yet in the midst of that suffering, in the midst of this dark world, he committed no what? No sin. Now you just think about that and compare that to us. When he was reviled, what is our tendency? To slander back, right? He did not do that. He never transgressed the law in any shape or any fashion. In all manner of his life, all manner of his speech, even though it was painful, the Bible says that he carried out his earthly ministry through many tears and sorrows. He produced no sin in any aspect. He didn't sin in his action. He didn't sin in his speech. He didn't sin in his mind. He maintained the ultimate, infinite purity of conscience before God. That's amazing, isn't it? He did how many sins? No sin, the Bible says. Not only did he not commit sin. Now turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Not only did he not commit sin, he knew no sin. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we'll begin reading in verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on the behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him, Christ, who what? Knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So he never, in his conduct, he never sinned, right? But he himself knew no sin. Now, what that means, I think, is that he had no living knowledge of sin. In other words, there's nothing about sin that had any appeal to him at all in any shape, fashion, or form. He knew of the fact of sin, didn't he? But he knew no sin in and of itself. And this is what God did to reconcile us. Jesus Christ was absolutely free from any action of sin, and he was free from any living knowledge of sin, and thereby he was qualified to be our Redeemer. He was qualified for us to be reconciled by God. He took our place. Do we commit sin? Do we know sin? We do know sin, don't we? And yet, in order to be the Savior, or you could put it this way, in order to be saved, He knew no sin, thereby being qualified to be, in our behalf, overwhelmed by our sin. Note what it says. He made Him who knew no sin to be what? To be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. And what this, it doesn't mean that Jesus became a sinner on the cross. What it means is that God the Father both regarded Christ and treated Christ as if He were a what? As if He were a sinner. He never committed sin, right? And He did not know sin. And just like Christ was regarded and treated as a sinner, and therefore the wrath of God was poured out on Him, so we who do know sin, we could be regarded by God and treated by God in Christ as if we were not sinners, but as if we were righteous. Everybody see that? Okay. And so here's this beautiful expression. Christ committed no sin. Christ knew no sin. And we got our third one that we need to look at, and our final one here. Turn to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Now, we've been moving in these three passages concerning the person of Jesus Christ from the conduct of Christ, He committed no sin, to His actual living knowledge of what of sin, He knew no sin. Now we're going to go into His very heart when 1 John chapter 3 and verse 5 says this: You know that He, Christ, appeared in order to take away what? He came to take away sins, and in Him, know what it says, there is no what? Everybody see that? In Him, there is no sin. In other words, even though Jesus was fully God and fully human, Jesus did differ from us in this aspect. He had no sin nature. So everybody see how we've gone from the outward, the conduct of Christ, He committed no sin, He knew no sin, and in Him is what? No sin, no sinful nature. Now, we do have a sinful nature. And hold your place here. We're going to come back. Go over to the book of James. Because you have to go back to the book of James, chapter 1. Now, let me just show you what happens to us. Verse 13. Let no one say when he is what? Tempted. Everybody see that? So we're talking about being tempted, right? Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. In other words, God's tempting you to do evil. Well, look at what it says. Don't say that for or because God cannot be tempted by what? Everybody see that? God cannot be tempted by evil, and He Himself does not tempt anyone. Amen? So you just think about it this way. God can't be tempted with evil, so don't say, well, God's tempting me to do evil. People don't usually word it that way. They'll word it like this. Well, God just put me in a place where I had to do this. Answer? No. God cannot be tempted with evil, nor does God tempt anybody else to do what? To do evil. Everybody got that under your belt? All right, now look at verse 14. But each one is tempted. God doesn't tempt us, but we are tempted. Each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own what? Okay. God doesn't have that, amen? You could try to bribe God all day long. There's nothing in him that would even identify with that bribe. Nothing would move toward that. Okay, but what about us? There's an old saying in the world, every man has a price. You think that's true? Well, it wasn't true of Christ. Right? I'd like to think it's not true of me. All right? Somebody says, well, will you go slap that person right down? He says, I'm not going to go slap that person. All right, I'll give you $5. No way. I'll give you $5,000. Well, maybe if I don't do it too hard. Right? Okay. What are they appealing to? Why would you say that? You say, well, I wouldn't do it for $5,000. I'm a higher price guy than that. Okay. But the fact that you got a price on it means there's something inside of you, right? There's some desire in you for money. That's greed, right? You could have offered Christ money all day long and there would be nothing inside of him that would even move in that direction. No desire at all. That's amazing, isn't it? And so here, each one, we're tempted when we're carried away and enticed by our own lust. And when lust hath conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Don't be deceived about this. God will never, I word it this way, God, in his dealings with us, brethren, God will never appeal to your sin nature. Never. Any trial that comes your way is a trial for our good, even if your sin nature tries to turn it into something evil. So, did Jesus commit sin? Did he have a living knowledge of sin? Did he possess a sin nature? Was he the sinless, spotless Lamb of God? Folks, that's what it would take to be qualified to be our Savior. That's what it took for him to be qualified to become sin on our behalf so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In other words, only God could have done this. No human being, no holy saint, no Mother Mary, no Muhammad, no Buddha, no human being has those characteristics outside of the Son of God that came down from heaven. And he saved you. And he took your sins. Folks, this sinless, spotless Son of God, the one who was fully human, fully God, he's the second Adam, right? And do you know what he's doing right now? Do you know what this person who did no sin, knows no sin, in whom is no sin, you know what he's doing right now? Praying for you. Do you think he's praying sinlessly? Do you think he's asking the right thing? Do you think God the Father hears him? So he can save us to the uttermost. King James translation says. Brethren, we do have sin within us. And I'm back in 1 John. I'm going to read two verses. 1 John chapter 1. I repeat again, you should have these under your belt. He did no sin, 1 Peter 2, verse 22. He knew no sin, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. In him is no sin, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 5. But that's not true of us. Look at what John writes. Verse 8, chapter 1. If we say we have no what? Everybody see that? If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not where? In other words, folks, in Christ, Jesus Christ, in Him is no sin. What about us? He doesn't have a sin nature. What about us? We do. What if we say we don't? What if we say every human being is born inherently good? Folks, that is a big deception. And it is evidence that the truth is not in that person. Right? When truth is in a person, they know they are sinful. Everybody see that? And here's the second thing. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 10. If we say we have not sinned, did Jesus commit sin? Never. What about us? What if you say, I didn't commit any sin today? Well, you may not have committed any conscious sin. That might even be debatable. But what if you say, well, I had one person tell me one time, they, literally, this was in church, I have not sinned in years. And I took them to 1 John 1, verse 10. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a what?
Liar.
And the word is not where?
Yes.
Folks, isn't it foolish for us to claim to be sinless?
Yeah.
But we do have a sinless Savior. And folks, my righteousness is not in my performance. My righteousness is not in the fact that I don't have a sin nature. Some people teach that when you get saved, your sin nature's gone. Folks, my righteousness is outside of me. And it's in heaven. And it's seated at the right hand. And He's praying for me. And He's praying for you if you know Him. This is the one of whom John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world. So let's go to our Lord in prayer.